Hello everybody, welcome to another episode of Reed's Wrestling. I am your host, Alan Reed, and today I'll be reviewing the September 13 edition of Raw. But before I get into my review, I want to speak a little bit on my mind on the recent rumor about Kevin Owens and how supposedly he's going to let his contract expire, and there's these rumors that he's going to go into AEW, and it's an interesting topic. And I think if it were to come true, I think AEW would actually use Kevin Owens properly and the possibilities will be endless. But I just don't think Kevin Owens would leave WWE this early. Maybe I could be wrong. It's just my perspective that I think he still has a little bit more to offer in WWE. But at the same time, they haven't really been using him and at all, at least in the way he wants to be used. Because if he was to go over to AEW, I do think that he will have more freedom to do what he wants to do, and you know, the crazy stunts that he wants to do, like for WrestleMania, where what was it, WrestleMania 30, blah, blah, the WrestleMania that had no one, I forgot the name right now. Wow, WrestleMania 33 or 35, sorry, WrestleMania 35. He wanted to jump off the last year's WrestleMania. He wanted to jump off the entrance, and obviously they didn't let him because there's no way he's gonna do that. But I do feel like if it was AEW, I feel like he'd be more free to do that. But that's enough about me and Kevin Owens. And oh, and another thing as well, with Sami Zayn, apparently his contract is coming up too, and a lot of people are saying that, oh, you know, definitely, you know, these best friends are gonna move on and they might go to AEW. Sure, why not? But we have to wait and see. And again, with the recent report too that Bray Wyatt is going to appear at AEW in October just in time for Halloween, that's a very big topic. But I think I'm going to talk about Bray Wyatt more along the weeks when more updates come out, and to see if that's actually the matter, as right now Braun Strowman is more in talks with Impact Wrestling. So with that being said, I'm going to go straight into the review and see my thoughts about this episode of Raw. So Raw starts off with Big E, RK-Bro, and Lashley in the ring. And the whole night revolved around Big E and how supposedly he's gonna cash in his Money in the Bank contract and he's gonna be WWE champion. But I thought that was a big he turned left. I didn't really think he would cash in his Money in the Bank. I was just like, oh, he's trying to get into these people's heads, and he just wants to keep getting into everyone's head, and you know, whenever the time comes, he'll be able to cash it in. But other than that was what I thought about Big E going in. And then MVP starts talking. MVP starts to blaming Randy Orton, how the championship match was supposed to be for the tag team titles, and Randy Orton, being Randy Orton, used his power to turn it around. And then Randy Orton agreed with him. He's like, yeah, because I'm Randy fucking Orton, and I can say what I want and get what I want, basically is what Randy Orton implied. So he was able to switch it to Monday Night Raw. But at the same time, it was more of a higher up decision because of AEW obviously beating Raw in the 18 to 49 demographic, that it needed something big to happen on Raw. So obviously, given the circumstances, they were switching to Raw instead of Extreme Rules and having to wait another week for it. So, and along the way, MVP, of course, being one of the best on the mic. I mean, this guy is one of the best people on the mic. He can talk for days and I would not get bored of him. I mean, he just makes Lashley just look more menacing and more almighty, you know, pardon the pun, but just almighty. And he just knows how to make Lashley just seem like the biggest thing since sliced bread. So with that being said, I had a thought of like, hey, can you imagine if like MVP and Paul Heyman were to get into a like mic off, like they would just talk. I mean, I think that would be amazing to watch. It'd be like pay-per-view level stuff to watch MVP versus Paul Heyman in a promo battle. I think it'd be great. And as like I said in the beginning, so it went on and Big E just kept teasing and teasing that he's going to cash it in on Lashley, or he's going to cash it in on Randy Orton, whoever wins. I don't think Big E is going to cash it in, like I said. And then out of nowhere, Randy Orton gives Lashley and RKO, and that's 3 weeks in a row that Randy Orton gets the number on Lashley. That's 3 RKOs, because last week I went to a live event, came to my city, and I was there on Raw, and he just came out of nowhere, and the pop from the crowd is amazing. It's crazy how over Randy Orton is, really. And now we move on to the first match of the night, and it was Charlotte Flair versus Shayna Baszler, and it was a championship contenders match. And the first thing I thought about this match was that, okay, it's going to be a complete squash match. Okay, Charlotte's going to toy around with Shayna Baszler, and Shayna Baszler is going to lose, and this match is going to last like 4 minutes. It's just going to show how dominant Charlotte Flair is. But in reality, no. In reality, Shayna Baszler actually gave Charlotte Flair a run for her money. She actually like pushed her to the point where Charlotte Flair was actually seeming to get frustrated that she couldn't put Shayna Baszler down. And as for Shayna Baszler and WWE, I see that they are in some sort of weird way. They are kind of giving her another push to get to the top, but it's just, I mean, okay, with the people she's wrestled with, sometimes she's been wrestling with Nikki, Rhea, and Charlotte Flair, but I just don't feel like they are giving her that full potential push. This is more of like, hey, we're going to kind of keep you in the game, but you're just not really going to get in there type of thing, this one, I think. And it's sad because Shayna Baszler, I always say, is probably one of the most underrated wrestlers they have right now. They're just not really doing anything with her because I kind of feel like they just don't know what to do with her, and she might be giving them ideas, but obviously them being hard-headed, they're like, oh no, this might not work, it's not going to work, and not that over, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I'm pretty sure if you put Shayna Baszler as the women's champion, she will get over and she will have fans screaming for her, because I mean, come on, she has her fans. I was there last week when she came out. She had quite a pop when she came out. As for the match, you know, Charlotte Flair, she jumped off the top rope to Shayna Baszler. She did her famous moonsault. That it's actually quite the thing to watch live. It's actually kind of scary seeing it live. And then Charlotte Flair, she kind of gave Shayna Baszler a big boot, but it was like a botched big boot. She kind of like tripped, but then she quickly like reversed into an elbow, which kind of looked like she actually hit Shayna Baszler in the nose. So don't really know what happened. And then obviously the shock of the night, I guess that you can say, is Nia Jax comes out. Of course we expected Nia Jax to come out, and now she gets on the ropes and then she distracts Shayna Baszler, and then Charlotte does another big boot and she gets to win. As for the finish of the match, I thought that was kind of underwhelming. It was really stupid. I mean, you're really gonna do Shayna Baszler like that with just a big boot, and then she gets the 1-2-3. That was really out of left field. I don't really think she should have just done a figure four like that, and at least Shayna Baszler would tap that with some dignity. But I mean, and in the match with a big boot, it is what it is. And for Nia and Shayna, I think they just need to break them up. We don't need this drama anymore. These two have been going at it, supposedly for going, you know, quote unquote, at it, Shayna and Nia, for months now. And at this point, just break them up. We don't need them anymore. Like, just put them at singles competition, put them against each other, or put one in the women's title contender, you know, something like that. Like, I don't know why they just officially break up Nia and Shayna, but they break up other great teams that actually have relevance. I.e., the New Day. Technically they are broken up, but not really broken up, but you know what I mean. It's just one of those things in the way I just don't understand. They're just milking it until it gets bored. It's kind of like Hollywood, and you know, they make a remake or a sequel after sequel that no one wants, but it's just like we just keep getting them. And then after the match, Alexa Bliss come out, and Alexa Bliss is holding a gift, and the gift is for Charlotte Flair. And then Charlotte Flair kept denying the gift until finally she decides to open it. And her facial expression was, I thought was funny. She just gave you the really gave me this look. And it turns out that it's a doll that's dressed like Charlotte Flair. And I honestly think the doll is adorable, and I would personally buy that doll. But it was a doll. And then Charlotte Flair, you know, she basically mocked Alexa the whole time before she threw the doll to Alexa, and then Alexa took offense to it, and then they started brawling around the ring. And I mean, from what I saw, they could do a voodoo doll type of storyline where Alexa Bliss gave her the doll, and now the doll is going to kind of control Charlotte Flair. But two reasons why I feel like that won't work. One, I think it's way too late. The Extreme Rules isn't basically next week or in 2 weeks, and it's way too late to do something like that. If they were going to think of that, they should have just done it like a month ago and then slowly build it in. And now it should have just been in the middle of that. And second of all, I think it would be too campy, you know, like a voodoo doll type of stuff. I mean, but at the same time, Alexa Bliss's character has been campy for so long, and don't get me wrong, I like it, and I do like the whole supernatural powers that she possesses and stuff like that. But at the same time, you know, I get it, you know, you kind of want to go back to kind of be a little bit more reality based. We already have a, you know, quote unquote superhero. We don't need now like a villain that kind of controls people's minds. So maybe they just want to keep this more grounded and make it more like a cartoony type of rivalry. Then we move on to a six-man tag match. We have Drew McIntyre and the Viking Raiders versus Jinder Mahal, Shanky, and Veer. This was a match that it was probably the most pointless match to have on Raw in a few weeks. This was stupid. I mean, before the match even started, Jinder Mahal, Veer, and Shanky, they came from behind to Drew McIntyre and they jumped them before the match even started. And Jinder and Veer, as the match went on, they just kept tagging each other in and out. And I'm here like, okay, is Shanky ever gonna wrestle? And lo and behold, finally Shanky does get tagged in. But man, this guy was just he's tall and menacing. Okay, I get it, but he just did like two or three moves and then Drew McIntyre got his number. Basically, I mean, Drew McIntyre literally just gives Shanky a claymore kick and the match ends. And Drew McIntyre literally did all the work in this match. I mean, sure, you had Eric from Viking Raiders that he started off the match, but in reality, he didn't really do much either. This clearly could have just been a singles match, Drew McIntyre versus Shanky. But it's just one of those things where I guess they just want to waste time and just have people on TV and give them some TV time. But it's, when you think about it, it's just pointless. It should have just been a singles match. Then it was the United States Championship match. Damian Priest versus Sheamus. I mean, Damian Priest versus Jeff Hardy, my bad. And Sheamus comes out to do commentary. And personally for me, I think Sheamus is so underrated when it comes to talking. This guy just talks and talks, and his accent just makes it better. And to be honest, I think he is kind of funny when he does commentary. He does some remarks that are pretty funny. And as for the match in general, it wasn't really much of a highlight. Damien, you know, he was basically doing dives from the top rope to Jeff Hardy, kind of alluding to Jeff Hardy that, I mean, I guess he can do all these tricks that Jeff Hardy does. But as the weeks go on or months go on, it's so obvious that they just don't know what to do with Jeff Hardy. And it's so sad because Jeff Hardy is a future Hall of Famer. This guy, he's done so much for the company. I mean, we all know what he's done for this company. And it's just so sad to see someone literally deteriorate right in front of you, career-wise, right in front of you, because they just don't know what to do with you. And they don't, I mean, or at least they don't know if they should give you the push or not give you the push, because maybe you're at the end of your career, or maybe you just have a few more months left in your career. We don't know. I mean, a week ago, last week, I mean, he was chasing a 24/7 belt. And me, I swear, this might rub people the wrong way, but I feel like if they put you to go to against the 24/7 belt, you clearly do not know, like, what, they don't know what to do with you. They just want to give you TV time, so they're just going to put you running. And it's almost like an insult. Personally, obviously Reggie is a great athlete, at least, you know, doing the jumps. R-Truth, you mean, come on, that guy is funny as hell. I mean, that guy is, I love him, but I just feel like if they put you in the run for the 24/7 belt, I feel like it's just an insult to you, because they just don't know what to do with you. And even worse is every time I see Jeff Hardy wrestle now, I just feel like he's so winded. Man, that guy can't really put on a match, because after like 3 minutes, it's kind of like Undertaker. You can just tell by his facial expression that he's breathing hard and he's trying to like maintain himself. And it's rough for me, because I grew up watching Jeff Hardy, and this guy was like jumping off 20-foot ladders and making history with ladder matches and TLC matches. And just seeing Jeff Hardy in this state of mind, I'm just like, my God, poor guy. Like, what? I mean, I honestly think it's better for him to just call it quits, at least for now, and just kind of go into like being a producer mode or something. As for the match, sorry, I went on a rant right there. As for the match, like I said, the match wasn't anything special. Damian Priest does a blackening and he gets the win. And then Sheamus ends up attacking Damian Priest and Jeff Hardy when the match was over. And obviously, we're going to get Damian Priest versus Sheamus at Extreme Rules. And this is a storyline that's, I hope, ends at Extreme Rules, because I really don't see them doing anything else but battling on Extreme Rules. I just hope they don't really push it in a sense of how they were pushing Damian Priest and Bad Bunny and The Miz and Morrison. Like, they were doing it for months. So hopefully on Extreme Rules, that's it. Like, whoever wins, wins, and that's it. You move on to something else that hopefully is good. Then we have Nikki A.S.H. versus Tamina. And as always, like anyone else, maybe, I still wonder how long the superhero gimmick will last. I don't really see it lasting for more than 2 years, but we will see. Maybe Nikki will realize she needs to go back to being the crazy girl that she was. Or maybe this superhero gimmick is actually going to be better. It's going to just grow and be better, and we'll see how it turns out. As for the match, Tamina, she dominated Nikki for the beginning of the match. For most of the beginning of the match, Nikki had like no chance against Tamina. But then it was a very short match. Nikki literally just rolls over Tamina and she gets to win. And then after the match, Tamina and Natalya, they beat down Rhea Ripley and Nikki A.S.H. Now apparently Rhea Ripley and Nikki are official tag team, and they're going to go against Natalya and Tamina for the women's tag team title. And it's a very unorthodox team, I gotta say, because Rhea is like the badass rocker chick that takes like no for an answer, while Nikki, you know, she's a superhero, she does good for the world. So it's a very unorthodox team, but at the same time, we've had so many of those like mixed teams that should have never worked but end up working. For example, you know, the Rock and Sal Connection, you have Mankind, which was delusional and crazy, and then you had the Rock that was like energetic and in your face. So I think of them like that. So, and I mean, hopefully they actually do end up being Raw's women's tag team champion. And then following that match, it came Rhea Ripley versus Natalya. And Natalya has this new mean street attitude type, you know. She doesn't take shit from anyone anymore. She has this mean streak, but at the same time, when I see her, when she does this whole, you know, quote unquote mean girl thing, I kind of feel like it's forced. I don't know why. I just can't see her as a heel. Because every time she frowns, it kind of seems like she forces herself to frown. And sometimes there are heels where it's just natural to them to be bad. Like, it feels right. Well, there's been a lot of others that they turn heel, and it's just hard to take them serious as a heel because you're just so used to seeing them being good, and it just doesn't fit them. That's how I feel about Natalya. I feel like Natalya, I mean, I guess when she turned heel, it kind of gave her a little more reason to work, like in a sense of she has more of a career, but I just don't see it happening. As for the match, Rhea Ripley, she drop kicks Tamina outside the ring, and then Natalya ends up smashing Rhea Ripley to the barricade, and then Natalya gives Rhea Ripley a snap suplex outside the ring. And let me tell you something, this match went on for a long time. I mean, longer than I expected, to be honest, and it wasn't really worth the length of the match. This match went for almost 20 minutes. I feel like it went for almost 20 minutes. And prior to this match, with the assault that Natalya and Tamina gave Nikki, Nikki went to the back. She was getting checked out by doctors, but Nikki ends up coming back, and then she trips Natalya, and then Rhea Ripley makes Natalya tap out. And like I said, I do think that Nikki and Rhea will be tag team champions at Extreme Rules. Then we move on to the 8-man tag match. We have Mansoor, Mustafa Ali, and New Day versus Mace, T-Bar, and to be honest, I forgot who, because during this match I ended up getting an important phone call, so I wasn't able to see it. And I don't want to lie to you guys and just like go on air and read something that happened, spoilers, and say words from other people, because I like to keep this more of like me, based on me, my personal info, my personal opinions about it. So I unfortunately missed this match, and let's be real, I probably didn't really miss much. This match is probably just a show filler, so that's why I'm not really that bummed about missing this match. And then we have the main event, Lashley versus Randy Orton for the WWE Championship. And I mean, let's be real, this is your typical Raw main event. You know, I for some reason I have most of the matches, the time signatures of most matches already in my mind. I like, for that makes sense, I've been watching for decades, I like know how long the match will be, or when the match will be shown on Raw. And this match obviously being at my local time, 10:45, and match started at 10, I mean match started at 10:50, so it was a 10-minute match. And It went back and forth. I honestly thought that Randy Orton had the upper edge during this match, because I was kind of hoping that Randy Orton would win and he'll be a double champion. So it would have been a nice dynamic in a sense of, why not make Riddle, you know, United States champion and kind of make the RK Bro quadruple champions. It would have been a very interesting dynamic to see how that would go. Maybe, well, at the same time, that would have led into a jealousy, maybe into that kind of storyline. But Randy Orton ends up giving MVP an RKO, and man, I wish I would have seen that live, because I would have laughed my ass off if I would see that. And then Lashley ends up spearing Randy, and Lashley retains the belt. He gets the 1-2-3. So typically I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And then out of nowhere, Lashley ends up slamming Randy right through the announce table. Okay, cool. And then Big E's music comes out. Big E comes out. Lashley's done. Like, this guy's like tired. Like, he has gone through hell. And Big E actually cashes in his Money in the Bank contract. And I'll be honest with you guys, I was shocked. I did not expect Big E to cash it in. I expected Big E to come out. Sure, he's gonna, like, you know, like, cash it in, but he's gonna regret it and he's gonna run backstage. He's gonna be like, no, I'm gonna wait for next time. No, this man cashed it in. He cashed it in. And Big E beat Bobby Lashley. And now Big E is the new WWE champion. Holy shit. I did not expect it to happen that fast, but it happened. He is the WWE champion. Now, this is the kind of pop we need on Raw. And SmackDown, well, to be honest, on Raw, because SmackDown, for me, is beating Raw. And it's crazy, because SmackDown is supposed to be, you know, quote-unquote, the second-rate show, and Raw is the main show. And, well, but with this is what WWE needs to do. This is the stuff that fans want to see to kind of keep us watching your program. We need to see new champions. Remember, I don't know if you guys, some of you guys remember how in Raw and the Attitude Era, the WWF championship would change hands for like numerous times throughout the years on Raw. You know, Stone Cold winning, Triple H winning, Undertaker winning, Mankind winning. That's the kind of product we should be getting right now on Raw. Sure, it doesn't have to happen every month or every 2 months, but like every other month, you know, the upcoming months, you know, hey, we can have a championship change on the main show. It doesn't have to be on a pay-per-view. It doesn't have to be Madison Square Garden. You know, it can be in Georgia, it could be in Florida, it could be in California, but you change the product. Now with Big E being champion, that's great. I just hope they don't treat Big E as they treated Kofi, where, hey, it's like you're gonna be champion, but hey, in 2 months you're gonna drop the belt to this person. And I really hope they don't do that to Big E. But I did come to a prediction, as I always do with every single WWE championship win or Universal championship win. Or with any title in general that's major, I said it at WrestleMania. Bianca Belair won the Women's SmackDown Championship, and I said it from there. Okay, Bianca won, but she's gonna lose the belt at SummerSlam. SummerSlam came and she lost the belt, so I predicted it right. So with Big E being champion, I'm predicting that he's gonna drop the belt at Survivor Series against who? I do not know. I don't think it'd be Brock Lesnar. I don't think they're gonna move him from SmackDown. I really don't. But there's so many possibilities about contenders who could take the belt from him. But at least for now, I feel like he should just enjoy it and go along for the ride. You are WWE champion. You are above everyone else now. You lived your dream. You can always say, like, hey, I was a WWE champion. I'm just excited for Big E, to be honest. This is what we wanted. This is what we need. And trust me, I'm beyond ecstatic. And I actually for the first time in a long time actually kind of cheered in my room, and I was kind of like, yes, like finally, like something happened. And hopefully in the upcoming weeks for Raw, we could start getting like more into the storylines, more into, like, okay, Big E won, obviously there's gonna be a celebration on Monday maybe. But now the question is, who is going to face Big E for his first title defense? And there's a lot. I mean, the most typical one, obviously, will be Lashley, as he will claim his rematch. He will use his rematch clause for Big E. It could be at Extreme Rules, to be honest. It could just be added right there. Sure, why not? Might as well add it. But I still say Big E will retain it until Survivor Series. And hopefully I'm wrong. And hopefully he can just go on a lengthy title run, and who knows, maybe he can actually main event WrestleMania, which, I mean, come on, who would not want to main event WrestleMania? So who knows, we can only dream and hope that it goes his way, because right now I'm enjoying the ride. And I'll be honest, this was a pretty good edition of Raw. It was fast paced. It wasn't really much of a blunder, minus the Rhea and Natalya match that went on forever. At least it felt like it went on forever. This was a good way of showing that, hey, we can be good. We don't have to really like repeat storylines. So I'm giving this episode of Raw an 8 out of 10. I really liked it. Highlight of the night for me, obviously, was Big E. And to be honest, it was actually Randy Orton giving Lashley an RKO. I just always enjoy seeing that. That would do it for this episode of Reach Wrestling. Thank you for listening, and I will see you next time.